Solomon is the one who wrote the book of Proverbs, and he's writing to his son. He's trying to prepare his son for life, prepare his son for wisdom. And we see this challenge to get wisdom, wisdom for a daily life. Wisdom's not just knowing, it's not understanding the information, but really applying it to our lives. These two chapters are really a contrast. We start off with the warning against the woman of folly, against the seductress. And really in these first seven chapters, this is a theme for Solomon. He keeps coming back to sexual sin. If he were writing to a daughter, he would be warning about the man of folly. There's definitely a lot of men of folly out there as well. But since he's writing to his son, he's warning about the woman of folly. I think it's important to get into chapter 8 tonight as well, because then we have the Lady of Wisdom. And she is personified, wisdom is personified as a woman, and she is crying out in the gates. Which woman are you going to listen to? Sexual sin, foolishness, or wisdom? So we got our work cut out for us. Let's get into verse 1 of chapter 7. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. So this importance of the commands that Solomon is giving to his son, he's saying, son, hold on to these, memorize them, keep them close to your heart. For us, it's the truth of God's word. The greatest defense is a good offense, meaning if you are pressing into the Lord, you're pressing into God's word, you're holding to God's word, that's going to be protection against sin. That's going to be protection against the seductress. Make time for God's word. Invest your life into God's word. The seductress who flatters with her words. And we're going to see this enticement for sexual sin, the tactics of the woman of folly, flattering words, building up your ego. We've talked about this several times in the book of Proverbs. If someone's building you up too much, be on guard, right? It's like, why are you playing on my ego? Why are you trying to flatter me? What are you trying to lure me into? Verse 6, for at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice. So Solomon's looking out of his palace, looking out of his window, and this is what he sees. I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. Here's this young man who's aimless, not pressing into the Lord, not pressing into God's word, not pressing into God's purposes for his life. It's not good to be aimless at any age, whether you're young or old or somewhere in between, right? You don't want to just be wandering the streets, if you would, looking for something to do. You don't want to just be surfing the internet aimlessly, looking for something to do. Seek the Lord. What would God have us to do in Scripture? What work would God place in front of us? It might not be the ultimate thing, but it's the next thing. This is what God has for me. But this young man, he's just aimless. He's just wandering the streets. He's simple. He's ignorant. Passing along the streets near her corner, and he took the path to her house. This is the first mistake. Here's this woman of folly, and this young man, he's hanging out on her street near her corner. He's getting close to sexual sin, and then he takes the path to her house. We have that choice. God's always providing the way of escape. A lot of times we tend to think that we're victims to sexual sin, that we really didn't have a choice, but is that biblical? Is that what Scripture tells us? We made a decision, didn't we? We went close to her house. We started to get closer and closer to sinful websites, right? We started to push it a little bit more and a little bit more and justify. We started flirting with this person who's not our spouse and taking it a little bit further and a little bit further. We're close to her house. We're on her path. In twilight and in the evening, in black and dark of night. Have to be careful at night. Seems like temptation's worse at night. We tend to think that God doesn't see at night. What a lie, right? Like God sleeps at night. Like he's not watching at night. So you see this young man and he's aimless. He's hanging out, and he's by her corner, on her path, and well, it's dark. Nobody sees. It's the black of night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. So here's this woman. She's taking advantage of this opportunity. She sees this aimless young man, and she presents herself. She's got the attire of a harlot, but it's a crafty heart. This is something that's methodical, something that's thought through. How do I entice this young man with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. There's something about her that would captivate your attention. But the way she dresses, the way she presents herself, she's loud, she's rebellious to the sinful flesh, looks like a lot of fun. Unfortunately, sometimes rebellion looks like fun, doesn't it? When we're not in the right place with the Lord, we can look at rebellion and it can be something that is attractive to us. At times, she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. If you're looking for the woman of folly, the man of folly, if you're looking for sexual sin, you can find it. It's out there lurking, right? When we think of the open square, this is Walmart. This is Home Depot. This is you're online going to read the news, and you're just one click away from the seductress, the person that's preying on your soul. So you have to actually be proactive. Unfortunately, sometimes the man of folly, the woman of folly can attend church, right? You should be aware of that. You know, not everybody at church has good intentions. And sometimes people come to church for the wrong motives and to try to prey off of people instead of to seek the Lord and to build up God's people. So it's there. It's in the open square. Unfortunately, it's amongst the church. It's lurking. And she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, he's already too close. He's already hanging out where he shouldn't be. And she grabs him. He should have ran for his life, right? Before the kiss ever gets placed on his face, he should have had the Joseph response and get away from sexual sin as quickly as he possibly could. Flee sexual immorality. This face, this is a brazen face. You know, she kisses him with a brazen face. She's bold. And someone that's trying to lure you into sexual sin will be bold. Whether it's online or it's in person, whether it's pornography, it's going to present itself in this bold passions. I have peace offerings with me. Today I've paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. Oh, I was at morning worship this morning. I did my devotions this morning. I went to Wednesday night Bible study, right? And this is to try to get you to lower your guard. Oh, you must love Christ. You must be committed to Christ. You've made your daily vows. And so the seductress is willing to use spiritual manipulation to try to lure this young man into her trap. In verse 16, I have spread my bed with tapestries, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. This is fine linen. Linen wouldn't normally be colored. Hey, I've got the best linen. It's from Egypt. It's expensive. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. So presenting this is just irresistible and good, even though it's leading to death. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us drink ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. I'm married. You know, I'm in this covenant relationship with my husband, but you don't have to worry about that because he's on a long journey. He's never going to know. Is that true? Is that true? Is there ever such thing as a secret where God's not going to know and others aren't going to know? God loves us enough for it to be revealed. But in her deception, she's like, my husband's gone. He's on a long journey. He's taken several Visa cards. He's taken a bag of money with him, and he'll come home on an appointed day. He's got the money. He's not going to be back until September 20th. We've got all the time in the world. We're not going to get caught. And with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. So we see the tactics. We see how she's flattering. We see how she's seducing and giving this enticing speech. And notice that he yields. He gives in to that sexual temptation. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he didn't know it would cost him his life. Everything seems so good. I mean, there's Egyptian linen. How could this be wrong? I mean, there's cinnamon. Wow. And she did her morning devotions, and oh, how convenient, her husband's gone, and did I mention it's dark, and no one knows, and all of a sudden, it leads to his death. And the illustration is an ox going to the slaughter. A cow doesn't know that it's its day, right? You see those cattle trucks with the cows in the back of the trailer, and you're like, I think it's a bad day for the cows. I think they're turning into hamburger. And I appreciate hamburger. I love hamburgers, like, and steak. But it's a bad day for the cow. The cow didn't know that it was going to the slaughter, and the fool doesn't even know that he's going to his own death. The analogy is like a bird that hastens to a snare. The bird's simply having a good day, and then all of a sudden is entrapped in this snare, and it would cost him his life. Church, we need to heed this, and I know if you've been studying with us in Proverbs, it is repetition, but repetition is the mother of all teachers. We need to be honest with temptation in our own hearts, and we need to be able to decipher and discern, this is sexual temptation that is coming at me, and ultimately, it's Satan wanting to destroy our lives. Like, Satan's going, I know that this is going to bring destruction in your life, so I'm going to paint it as being really good, but it's outside of God's design and it's going to bring destruction. If you're in that place of temptation tonight, man, God brought you here. Stop listening to the woman of folly. Stop listening to the man of folly. There may be somebody you need to break up with. You're dating the man of folly. You're dating the woman of folly. You're flirting with the seductress at work. You've given yourself over to the seductress online through pornography, and it's God's message. This is serious, and it's messing with your life. It's taking your life. It's threatening your life. And if you're in a place of compromise, it's not too late. Get right with the Lord. Confess it to God. I think we need to bring it to trusted brothers and sisters in Christ. Men bringing it to men, women to women, if you're married to your spouse. But don't stay in that place. Don't just simply say, I'm going to continue down this path and think that I'm not going to pay a price. Remember from chapter 6 a couple weeks ago where sexual sin was likened to stepping on hot coals? You know, what happens if you step on hot coals? You're going to get burned. What happens if we go in sexual sin? We're going to get burned. God's design, what is it? It's to bring us life. God's design for sexuality is to bring us life. Verse 24, now therefore listen to me, my children, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. It stands out. It's worth underlining and meditating. All who were slain by her were strong men. How many strong men and women of God have went the way of sexual sin, right? We see it over and over and over again, and time again, of these amazing godly men and women who sexual sin got a hold of them. There can be this tendency with sexual sin to think that somehow we're above it, and that's part of the trap of it. If we think we stand, take heed that we fall, right? Strong men, strong women, people that thought, hey, I've dealt with this in my life. I'm not going to give way to sexual sin. They left that door open and it crept in. And so We need to have great humility before the Lord. There's something about sexual temptation and sexual sin. The enemy wants us to be silent. Like if we're being tempted, instead of sharing that with trusted brothers and sisters in Christ and asking for prayer, we tend to think, I got this under control. I got this handled. I don't want to share that I'm being tempted. And that's part of the trap of it. And then before you know it, we've given into it. Or I've messed up and I've sinned sexually and I'm just going to pretend like it didn't exist and I'm not going to bring it before the Lord. I'm not going to bring it before others. And Satan keeps us in that place of shame. It's an area that we want to walk in humility before the Lord and humility with others and not ever get to that place of thinking somehow I've arrived or I'm not going to give in to a sexual sin. Chapter 8 switches to the Lady of Wisdom. Wisdom is crying out. So which voice are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the woman of folly, the man of folly, or listen to wisdom? Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Wisdom is crying out as well. Yes, foolishness is crying out. Sexual sin is crying out. But God's wisdom is accessible. The voice of wisdom is not hidden. It's not secret. It's not quiet. It's crying out. She takes her stand on the top of a high hill beside the way where the paths meet. Where does wisdom hang out? On Academy and Austin Bluffs, the busiest intersection in the city, right? That's what's being said here. Wisdom is camped out on the hill at the busiest intersection saying, anybody who wants wisdom, I'm free for the taking. Anybody who wants to listen, I'm willing to give freely. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Yes, the seductress lives online, but also wisdom lives online. Bible Gateway lives online. GotQuestions.org lives online. Enduring Word lives online. There's a lot of wonderful Bible teaching, Bible resources, a variety of very trusted studies that we can plug into. Wisdom is accessible to us. It's crying out. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of understanding heart. So both are simple, both are ignorant. The guy wandering around aimlessly in chapter 7 is also present in chapter 8. It's, am I willing to learn? Am I willing to listen? Verse 6, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wisdom's always going to declare truth. Wisdom is going to take a stand against wickedness. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to understand. They're all plain to him who understand and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Wisdom is more valued than any material possession. It's way more valuable than gold or silver to have endless riches. A good case could be met. How much can you use wealth for God's glory if you don't have wisdom? Like, we need wisdom. A lot of times we feel like, I just need more money. I need more gold. I need more silver. And if I had these things, then life would be easier. But we actually need wisdom. What if we believed this? What if I believed this? That I actually needed God's wisdom more than I needed money and stuff, right? Say, this is actually going to serve me in a better way to have God's wisdom. And thankfully, God's wisdom is cheaper, right? God's wisdom is a lot cheaper than a brand new car. God's like, if you want it, you can come get it. If you want to study the word, if you want to seek it, I will give it to you. Not that it's easy, but he's not charging it for us. God's not saying, I'll give you wisdom and then charge you interest, right? Here's, here's wisdom for $99.99 a month, plus I'm going to charge you interest. He's like, you want it? You can have it. If you're willing to surrender your life to it, if you're hungry for it, it's better than gold, silver, choice rubies. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, fellowship with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The end result of wisdom is knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord's a theme through the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is what allows us to come into wisdom. The fear of the Lord is awe and respect of God. It comes from a place of worship, comes from a place of trembling at his word. When we fear the Lord, we hate evil. We hate what is wrong and wicked. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So pride and arrogance come with evil. How many times do we act in an evil way when we're prideful and we're arrogant? Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So now we begin to see wisdom personified as this lady of wisdom. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Wisdom serves kings and rulers well for those that choose it. By me, princes rule and nobles and all judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. This is not saying if you walk in godly wisdom that you're going to be rich. But there is an aspect of godly wisdom does benefit our lives. It is going to help us make good decisions also in the financial realm. But it's wrong to say if you walk in godly wisdom that you're guaranteed to be wealthy. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. The fruit of wisdom is more than just financial gain. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Wealth coming from wisdom. Again, not just financial, but the true riches of the things of God. Wisdom goes on to share, the lady of wisdom crying out in the gates and the streets, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. God has wisdom. God's wisdom is displayed in creation. I've been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth, even there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there was no foundations, abounding with water. Wisdom dwelled with God. God possessed wisdom even before creation. Creation is an expression of God's wisdom. God's wisdom is going to dwell long after this earth is done. We know that someday this earth is going to be burned up with judgment. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. God has this attribute of wisdom before Pike's Peak was created. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. Didn't you enjoy that last worship song before the message tonight and seeing God's glory in creation? And that just being a foreshadow of what heaven's going to be like. Here, what the Proverbs is saying is we see God's wisdom in creation. And that wisdom preceded creation. God used wisdom in creation. When he assigned to the sea its limit. The ocean has its limit. Sometimes there's a big storm and the ocean goes a little bit further, but the sea is limited by God so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now again, wisdom's not a person. This is a personification, but it's showing God's use of wisdom in creation. Rejoice rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Ever worked on a fairly massive project in your house, maybe trying to remodel your kitchen? It takes some work, doesn't it? And it takes some wisdom to try to plan this out and map it out. And even if you get some contractors to help along the way, it's a small miracle to get a kitchen remodeled. And it's like, Lord, help us to use wisdom in the midst of this. How much more so with creation did God utilize wisdom? You know, and it's an expression of his wisdom. So we come to the conclusion tonight in these last few verses, and we're challenged to listen and be blessed. There's two voices. There's the voice of folly. There's the voice of sexual sin. There's the voice of the world, the voice of our flesh. And then there's the voice of wisdom. You know, what voice are we listening to? Which voice are we responding to? Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. As family members, we hone in on each other's voices, right? You know, I know when my wife is talking with me, and I can hear it in the tone of her voice, even in the way that she's saying things, and can try to discern, like, is she doing well? Is she excited? Is something wrong? If she says my name a certain way, it's like, oh, I must not be driving well right now. Or, you know, this is urgent. She needs my attention. Like with my kids, I can hear it in their voice, right? When they call on the phone or when they're talking, I'm listening. Hopefully I'm listening and I can hear their voice and I'm attuned to their voice. And are we attuned to wisdom? You know, does wisdom have our ear? Is that what we're listening to? As wisdom is crying out, are we listening? A big part of our walk with God is to listen. God emphasizes it a lot through Scripture. If you have an ear, let him hear. God's saying, just because you have a physical ear doesn't mean you're really listening. Has God been trying to get through to us in some area of our lives where he's wanting to give us wisdom, but we're not listening? I think God wants to give wisdom more than we want to receive wisdom a lot of times, and for us to listen. And sometimes we're in the posture of doing a lot of talking, and it's good to pour out our hearts before the Lord, but it's also good to take the position of listening. God, I want to listen. I want to be still. I want to hear what you have to say to me. I want to hear what you want to speak through your word. I want to hear what you might have to say through believers and getting counsel. Listen, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. There is a blessing that comes from walking in wisdom. It's not easy, but it's worthwhile. I'm going to listen, try to walk in the ways of wisdom and be blessed. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. How many times does God give wisdom and we don't like it? Lord, I don't like it. And maybe even disdain it and turn against it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. It's just stated over and over again. Listen, hear, listen. You're blessed if you listen to wisdom. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. So instead of being tuned in to the woman of folly, instead of being tuned into darkness, tuned into wisdom. I'm watching every day. I'm getting up every day saying, God, guide me with your wisdom. Throughout the day, Jesus, you are my counselor. Would you lead me and guide me and direct me? For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. You find wisdom and you find life. There's life in wisdom. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. Two voices. Which voice are we listening to tonight? May God's voice be louder than all the rest. Saying, Lord, I need you to speak clearly to me. There are competing voices, and there's lots of noise, right? There's lots of noise. There's times, and this dates me a little bit, where I listen to the radio. Anybody still listen to the radio? That's more than I would think, yeah, and you admitted it. But sometimes when you're driving between Colorado Springs and Castle Rock, you get to this point where the spring stations are ending and the Castle Rock stations are trying to begin, the Denver stations. And there'll be a few times where you'll actually get a little bit of both stations. Like, this is trippy. Like, what? There's competing voices here. And then you get a little bit further north, and then boom, you're into the Denver stations, the Colorado Springs stations. And sometimes life feels that way. Like, God, I know you're speaking to me. I know your word is true. I know your wisdom's accessible. But there's also this noise. And it might be the noise of sexual sin. Or it might be the noise of our own desires. Or it might be the noise of everybody's got some advice for you. And it's important to seek out godly advice. But sometimes you're getting so much advice that it's hard to hear God's word. It's hard to hear what God has to say. And to say, Lord, I'm choosing to turn off these voices. I'm turning off this voice of sexual sin. I'm turning off all this advice that is coming to me. I'm trying to crucify my own desires. And Lord, I want to hear from you and your word. And to try to get our emotions and set those aside and to let the word of God speak to us. Because that's the primary way that God is going to give us his wisdom and put ourselves in a place of saying, okay, Lord, I want your word to direct me. I want your Holy Spirit to be able to direct me. I do think that these two chapters are next to each other for a reason. It's really hard to hear God's wisdom when we're in the midst of sexual sin. Like, sexual sin is gonna keep us from hearing God's voice. We've gotta deal with the sexual sin before we can adequately hear God's wisdom. Like, if we're hanging out at the prostitute's house, it's gonna be hard to hang out at Jesus' house. You know what I'm saying? And it's because Jesus loves us. He hasn't left us, he hasn't forsaken us, but he's not gonna fellowship with darkness. We're not gonna be able to truly hear from the Lord the way that we want to until we get out of the prostitute's house. Like, you gotta get out of there and say, nope, this isn't where God wants me to be, and this is destroying my life. So pornography has to come to an end. This adultery has to come to an end. The sex outside of marriage, fornication, has to come to an end. It's robbing me from my intimacy with Jesus, my closeness with Jesus. And what I love about the scriptures is who ultimately is wisdom? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He's Emmanuel, who is God with us. We look to the written word and we look to the living word, Jesus Christ. Draw near to Jesus. He's wisdom. Study the life of Jesus. He is wisdom. So there's the wisdom of the word and there's the wisdom in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus lives inside of you. He is the hope of glory. You know, what is keeping God's people from walking in wisdom? One of the things is sexual sin. If we're honest, that's one of the things that's keeping us from being able to walk in God's wisdom. So we come to the communion table tonight. We open up our hearts before the Lord. We confess to him. We receive his forgiveness. Take that next step. Share with a brother or sister in Christ. Really allow the Lord to bring victory. Do you think God would call us to something that's impossible? It's impossible in and of our own strength, but it's possible in Christ. It's possible to live in God's design for sexuality. Not perfection, but we don't have to be in a place of sexual sin. That's a lie from the enemy. God can work in our lives to allow us to have victory to where we don't have to be living in the prostitute's house. We can be fellowshipping with Christ. And then to surrender ourselves to the Lord and say, God, I'm ready to seek after wisdom. Don't make it complicated. God is sending out text messages of wisdom. You know, he's declaring it in his word. And for us to open up the word and say, Lord, I want to receive wisdom. I want to walk in it. Then when you get your answer from the word, don't doubt it, right? Okay, I've been seeking an answer. I've been seeking out godly counsel. God has revealed it to me in his word. And so I'm trusting it. And then there's those times in life where you're actually in an ice cream shop. You're in Baskin Robbins, right? You're wrestling, is this God's will to do this or that? And you've studied the scriptures and you've read the scriptures and you're not wrestling with unbiblical choices. It's like, should I take this job or should I take that job? You know, should I drive a Honda or a Toyota or a Subaru? Or, you know, you're wrestling with these decisions in life. You're praying it and you're seeking the word. And it could be that God is saying to you, you're my son, you're my daughter, pick your favorite flavor. And here we are, we're stuck in Baskin Robbins going, God, what's your will? What is the godly wisdom for me, right? Again, we're not talking about sin issues. There are those times where God says, hey, you have freedom. You wanna be an engineer? Be an engineer for the glory of God. You wanna be an accountant? Be an accountant for the glory of God. You wanna pursue ministry? Pursue ministry. See if God will open the door. And you've taken the time to pray about it and you've labored through it. And you'll have that peace with the Lord where God's saying, you have the freedom to choose. And honestly, sometimes those are the hardest decisions. Because when it's clear and it's a sin issue, it's like, okay, God's word tells me really clearly, this is what I should be doing. Or if there's an open door and a closed door and there's only one open door, it's really clear. You might be in a place this evening where you have three open doors and they're all biblical options. Don't get stuck, don't get paralyzed. Choose one in Jesus' name, like, and say, Lord, if for some reason this is the wrong direction, redirect me. Like, you have the permission to be able to do that. But sometimes we get stuck when we're in Baskin Robbins and we have a loving father that's like, you can go for the cookie dough. You can go for the chocolate and peanut butter. Wouldn't recommend the strawberry ice cream, but that's up to you if you want to. Here it is. So before we close, I think we've all felt it in our lives and in those that we love, just the havoc of sexual sin, that what it does in our lives and those that we love. And we are living in a unique time when God's doing a unique work. And may we allow the Lord to do that work of forgiveness and restoration and freedom in our lives. Freedom in our lives to say, we don't have to go the way of the world. We don't have to go the way of our flesh. We can go the way of Christ. We don't have to be on the path of sexual sin. By God's grace, through his help, we can be on the path of righteousness. Amen? Amen. So let's stand, let's pray, and we'll enter into communion together. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. And we ask that your voice would be the loudest. And all of the noise of this world, the noise of sexual sin, the noise of our flesh, sometimes even the noise of all of the advice that we get. And Lord, as we take communion tonight, and Jesus, we remember your broken body and your shed blood, we do pray that you would speak to us. Lord, where we need forgiveness, we confess our sin to you. And Lord, we need your help, we need your power. We cannot live this life the way that you're intending without your power and strength. We thank you that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that you pick us up, that you forgive us. Lord, those that are needing wisdom, would you provide it? Those that are trying to make life decisions, Lord, would you give direction? So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.